The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along to The Punt. We're back for a look at the Premier League weekend. We've got the World Cup qualifying playoffs behind us, the friendlies behind us, thank goodness for that, and we're back with the Merseyside derby kicking everything off. Before that, let me introduce our panel this morning, Derek McGovern, Ron Atkinson, and we have got Robbie Savage. How long you last today, Robbie, is purely down to technology, but we've got you now.
We need to sort this out, because I'm on a contract with Emil. Them two clowns are pay-as-you-play.
So I give up
my place for them two so they can get their 30 quid per column. As I don't need it because I'm on a contract and I'm an ambassador of William Hill and spend all my time at William Hill, I didn't need that 30 quid, so I've let them two pay-as-you-play.
Fair enough. It's such a...
Very noble.
Magnanimous isn't the word, is it?
It's fine.
Your large yes is incredible, Rob. Yeah, we should have a large yes on your T-shirt.
Yeah. What did I say? I didn't even get a chance to say mind your language because Rob is in his kitchen with his kids and Derek launches in. Unbelievable. You well, Ron?
I'm very well, yes, thank you.
Excellent.
I'm just going down memory lane. Robson, Wilkins, Moses, Strachan.
Mario Falcone.
Yeah. He's a decent player as well, actually.
By the way, he told me you hung around him like a fly round the day we played there.
Why is everyone swearing all of a sudden?
I'll tell you what, he said, because I actually spoke well of you, and he said, what a little
And I hey,
another
by
one. By the way, I said, he ain't that little, you know. Go on. Let's work. I've got it.
Let's start.
Wait, Robbie, you can mess with the rest, but don't mess with the best. Go on, let's get going.
Everton versus Liverpool, 12:45. 15-8, the home win. 12-5 the draw, and Liverpool are 11-8. Liverpool second, 23 points from the 11 games, the plus 11 goal difference. Everton just 3 points back though, after their really good start to the season. Still that one defeat for Everton at Manchester City, and in the Premier League, of course, for Liverpool, just the two defeats, one to Southampton and one to Arsenal. As we say every year when this fixture comes round, there have been more red cards in this fixture than any other in the Premier League. Everton have been given 13 of the red cards, the most by a side against a single opponent in Premier League history. So you can tell what it means to Everton. Liverpool got a fantastic record running this, lost one of the last 13 Merseyside derbies in the Premier League, 1-7, drawn 5, lost 1. The draw does weigh heavy there, doesn't it? There's a lot of draws in this fixture.
Yeah, and plus the fact this is probably the most informed team they've played since Howard Kendall's lot, I would think, Liverpool. So,
would you say that's really, yeah?
So, I don't think Everton will get beaten. Just looking to see if they can win the game. But what's the draw price?
The draw is 12-5.
12-5, is that the best price?
Yes,
if that's the best price, I'd go for it. I don't think Everton will get beaten.
Would you agree with that, Robbie, that this is as close as it's been, if you like, since way back then?
Yeah,
between the
I
two
think,
sides.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I think it is very, very close. So I'm going back to Everton Liverpool Cup finals when Rush got the two goals. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's when I started supporting Liverpool.
Yeah. I just think Liverpool will go there and win. I think 2-1. I think Sturridge and Suarez, Lukaku, so I think there'll be goals. 2-1 Liverpool.
The 2-1 to Liverpool is 17-2.
Did he look out of his depth at the international in the week?
Sturridge.
Sturridge.
He looked like he was playing with clogs on.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, he did look clumsy on the ball, didn't he?
Yeah. There's an article, they've been quite open about it, haven't they? I saw Brendan Rodgers saying that they're worried about him. He's playing with injuries. He wanted to play the full 90, so they didn't want to stop him. And Brendan Rodgers says, I've worked with him enough to know that if he's got a slight niggle, he's nowhere near his best. So he might not even play, Derek, I guess.
He was rubbish. He might not play. Suarez, 180 minutes up against Jordan and still didn't score. That's terrible for a Premier League striker. Even Dwight York would have scored. I mean, they were the worst international team of all time, weren't they, Jordan? Didn't get a goal against them.
I know.
This is impossible to call because it doesn't matter whether it's at Goodison or Anfield. Merseyside derby, it's just a football pitch and nine men against nine. Always the way. Did you give a price for the sending off, Lee?
No, I didn't, but I can find one.
It'll be around about 5-2, and there's no reason why it's not a good bet, something like that, is it? You know, it normally is around 5-2. As for the game, toss a coin, Lee. It's impossible to call. I disagree with the boys that it's the closest Liverpool and Everton have ever been, because Everton have finished above Liverpool the last couple of seasons.
Going into this game.
Not sure about that, Ron. I'm pretty sure there was one a couple of seasons ago where whoever won it would almost certainly finish in the top. We'll get a European place anyway. But yeah, it's a big game. You know, whoever loses is going to be pig sick, including the fans. But the draw, the best price, and it's littered with draws, this fixture. So yeah, got to be that one.
As ever, you're looking for the value, Derek, and I'm afraid it's shorter than you said. 21-10 for a red card in the match. It's well short, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Robert, you know what? Like, interesting stats, you know, because Roberto Martinez's first Mersey derby, this one, and previous Everton managers who played their first Mersey derby, David Moyes, Walter Smith, Howard Kendall, and Joe Royle, they all kept a clean sheet in their first Merseyside derby.
Interesting.
The only time they've met on the 23rd of November was in 1986. That finished 0-0 in Goodison. Their last meeting, 0-0 at Anfield in May. Price for a 0-0 today is around about 8-1, isn't it?
And so, can I just, because I hate being outstated, I really hate being outstated, I'll throw in no Premier League fixture has ended 0-0 more often than Liverpool versus Everton. Seven.
Yeah.
What price for it not to finish 0-0?
You have to back over 1.5 goals in the match then, Ron, wouldn't you? Over 1.5 goals in the match is 1-4.
God, that's a terrible price.
It's awful, that, isn't it? It's not. It's 1-4. Over 0.5, it'll be. 1-33.
Right, yeah.
So there you go.
1-33 to be a goal in the game.
Yeah.
Who backed that?
I don't know. You'd have to have quite a lot of money. So so a draw for you, Derek, then, and a 0-0?
Yeah, no goals.
Rod, you're going draw as well?
For a one-all draw.
A one-all draw is priced up at 6-1, and 2-1 to Liverpool for you, Robbie, just to sneak it. Very good. Are you still there, Robbie?
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Nick.
Yes.
I'm trying to get in here, you know, when Derek's talking, but you can't hear me.
I can't. I just chose to keep the fader down.
Starting to piss me off again.
Yes. Job done, Lee.
Seriously.
I thought we weren't swearing.
People only tune into this pod to listen to me, not them two
guys. Next up, West Ham versus Chelsea. West Ham 9-2. The draw is 14-5, and Chelsea are priced up at 8-13. The league position is Chelsea fourth, 21 points. West Ham just hovering above the drop zone on goal difference, 10 points. So they're joined up with Stoke and Fulham, who are in the drop zone, but only a minus 2. As for Chelsea's home form so far, it's just a win here and a loss there and a draw there. There's no consistency to it, really. Chelsea, that Newcastle United away defeat was the first one in the Premier League since the Everton defeat. But theirs isn't great form, to be fair, Robbie, is it, Chelsea's? I wonder where Chelsea are at the minute. It's quite hard to get a grasp on most of the teams at the top. Chelsea need to go away and get a good result here, don't they? To keep their challenge going.
I'm interested to hear what Rod and Derek have got to say about Danny Mills' comments. I've done it in my column today that he's part of the FA Commission looking to the future. And then on Five Live after the England game, he said, first thing I'd do if I was Rodson is ring John Terry. Well, he's part of the FA Commission to look at youngsters. Now he's on about bringing back John Terry, which was, for me, absolute nonsense.
Who was that again?
Danny Mills.
Oh, yeah.
It does seem daft, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what. Forget about what Danny Mills said. I will tell you now, that whole commission is a waste of time. They'll spout a lot of words, a lot of this, and it's been done a million times, and there's never anything altered. So it's just a waste of time. I mean, yeah, if we needed a centre half for one game to save your life or something, John Terry might be the one if the others were all injured. But you know, to view him with a view to going to Brazil, nah. He's got to have it clear in his own mind who his centre halves are going to be, and you know, if it's Cahill and Jagielka. By the way, I thought he's played ever so well, Jagielka. He's really started to turn into an international player.
What about Chris Smalling? How does he get a game in any game of football at any level?
Well,
how do you get a column in a national paper?
Right back at you.
For a start, he's all right. For a start, he's all right. I saw him at the game, you know, when Fergie went to put the seal of approval on him at Fulham, and he was useless. Mm. He had a nightmare. I thought, hell, fire.
What about Tom Cleverley?
Well, if Tom Cleverley was playing for Aston Villa, he wouldn't get in the England. He wouldn't get near the England team.
Yeah.
Mm.
I actually didn't think he did that bad the other night. You know, I think he's rubbish. But
nothing. He's one of them nice players. He's nice. Nothing happens, but he's nice.
Yeah.
Not for the
Chelsea
level.
Anyway, we've gone off on a tangent. What about this game?
Chelsea 3-0.
3-0, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 11-1 the price for that.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that sounds good. I'd probably go Chelsea 2-0.
7-1.
Yeah, I'd probably go Chelsea 2-0.
But you know what? They scored 4 goals away from home in 5 matches, won only 1 of 5, and like almost 1-2 something. Lee, you know, I don't rate West Ham at all. But
no.
Jesus, I couldn't back Chelsea at those kind of odds. I'm looking at the only bet I can pick out in this. It's a real tough one. In the both teams to score market, I'm going a resounding no at 10-11.
Yeah, couple of goal scorer bets. No, against no siders, Torres scored more Premier League goals than against West Ham. 6 goals in 7 games in total. He's 6-5 to score in this list. I'm just going to have a look and see if he's. I haven't got any news that he's not fit, but then again, you don't never know who's going to play. Yeah,
He's never scored against them, has he, Samueletto?
No, he won't have done, I think.
But he's never
can't imagine he's played many games against him.
No, you did.
I was just looking at Torres has got a slight muscle strain, hasn't he? So I can't imagine they will risk him, can they? Just because he's in the score list, it doesn't mean he's necessarily going to play. Eto is even money, by the way. But resounding wins and both teams to score no for Derek in that one. Let's look to Sunday. Manchester City versus Tottenham. This is an interesting game already this season. 7-10 Man City at home. The draw's 11-4. And Tottenham are priced up at 4-1. Of course, the European week's around the corner for both of these. Tottenham go to Tromso. Man City have got Victoria Plzen at home, which is the easiest game in that group. Man City are behind Tottenham in the table, a point back in 8th position. Tottenham in 7th, of course. And City still favourites for the Premier League, despite where they are in the table and despite the away defeats. But then you look at the home form. This is the Premier League home form at the moment this season. Won 4-0, 2-0, 4-1, 3-1, 7-0. And for all Tottenham's struggles to score goals, they've only let in 1 goal away from home all season long, Derek, and that was against Arsenal. Something's got to give here, you'd think.
Yeah, it has. It's an absolute humdinger of a match. And you look at Tottenham's price of 4-1 and you start licking your lips a little, don't you? But I can't, you see, if City hit form, they'll steamroller anybody, and more often than not, they hit form at home. They're a little bit on the short side for me, City, and Tottenham are one of my sides to follow, but they've disappointed me, and City haven't disappointed me at home, so I'm going for a home win here, even at odds shorter than I think it should be.
Robbie, which way would you go on this one? Man City versus Tottenham?
Home win, 2-1 City.
Yeah. Let me get the price for that while Ron's discussing this one. Interesting stat on the goal scorers. I mean, I think, you know, it's universal that everyone likes Aguero, maybe Man United fans apart, of course. But of players who've scored 40 or more goals in the Premier League, only Thierry Henry has got a better minutes per goal average than Sergio Aguero. 122 for Henry and 123 for Aguero. If he's playing, Ron, then you've got to be on them, haven't you?
Yeah. I fancy Man City to win it. Mm. I'd be looking. I'll be looking at a 2-0. I see Eriksen's out for a while anyway. Although he's not been a regular starter, has he?
Surprisingly, he's not. He's not getting a game regularly.
And he's out for a few weeks now, isn't he?
There's something not right about Tottenham, isn't there?
To be fair, I think they put too much onus on the lad up front, on his own. You've got what other club in the country would have a goal scorer like Defoe and not play him?
Mm.
You know, yeah. I mean, they've got. Somehow or other, I know he likes to play 3 in midfield and 2 wingers and whatever, but somehow or other, he's got to find a system to get Defoe into the team.
Yeah.
Although Defoe can't play as a lone striker, but certainly as a support striker, he'll always score goals. Mm. But I fancy there's something wrong with City when you look at that home record and then look at their away record. There've got to be question marks against the tactics away from home or the character away from home.
Mm.
I mean, team, that's convincing. And that's not just this year, is it? I mean, they've had about 2 blips in the last 4 years, haven't they, at home in the league?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'd go for City, and I'd play on the safe side. I'd go for a 2-0. I don't think Tottenham will score against them.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if Joe Hart will come back in.
Yeah, interesting one, that, won't it? I mean, he had a great performance until he had that rush of blood again, you know, and came in.
Yeah, but he did all right. Yeah.
Someone made a good point on the TV afterwards, just going back to Terry and Ferdinand as well. Not that I'm saying they should play, but someone said on the TV afterwards, if Rio Ferdinand and John Terry were the centre-backs there, he'd never have come out. Which I wonder if that's true or not,
might,
I don't know.
It might be right, that's hypothetical.
That's an interesting, what odds would you go now, Hart to play on Saturday? I don't think he can he? You can't knock out the other keeper who's done anything wrong.
Against Tottenham, yeah.
I would.
You would play him?
Yeah.
Put him straight back in there.
What about you, Robbie?
Yeah. Robbie, would you play Joe Hart against Tottenham, Robbie?
Would I play Joe Hart against Tottenham? I think I would. I think a bit harsh on Pantemilion because he's done that wrong. But after his performance midweek, I thought he was terrific, to be fair, and I'd put him back in now.
Yeah, interesting one. A few little stats around goals in this one.
They've got a good record, by the way, Tottenham, haven't they, in recent years? They beat them twice in the last 3 years, haven't they?
At home, obviously. Yeah, they beat them 3-1, didn't they, last time out?
I'm on about it.
They won four seasons ago and 5 seasons ago, Rob. Ron, the last 3 seasons they've lost 2-1.
Is that long ago when Crouchy got winners? They got them into Europe and all that.
Yeah, it was a 1-0 they won and a 2-1
they
won.
Two on the bounce, didn't
they? Yeah, but Bent was playing there then as well.
They were big results, weren't they? You know, they got Tottenham into, well, I think one got them into fourth place and then they got robbed.
Few goals in this fixture. I mean, there was a 5-1, 3-2s, 2-1s, 3-1s. And no Premier League home ground seen more goals this season than the Etihad because of all those. That 7-0s obviously helped it along quite a lot. Dzeko scored more against Tottenham than any other club in the Premier League. 5 of them.
In one game.
That's right, yeah, he did. The another one, if you like your goals betting, 14 of the 18 goals scored in the last four head-to-heads between these two have been in the second half. So maybe a 0-0 at half-time and then, maybe an over 1.5 in the second half might get you some profit back. And one final one, just talking about Spurs goal scoring, which still remains a problem, as the guys were pointing out. They've attempted the most shots at goal this season, 157, but have got the worst shot conversion rate, 5.7, turning into goals, which probably is their problem, I guess. Yes, interesting. Cardiff versus Man United next. Cardiff are 9-2. The draw is 3-1, and Manchester United are 6-10. Man United fifth now, and 20 points. What crisis? Cardiff 14th in the table and 12 points. Man United's form, as we keep saying, since the defeat to West Brom, they've in all matches they've had three draws, and the rest have been wins and started to score some goals. Beat Arsenal in that run, of course, as well. Cardiff lost to Villa last time out, just as it looked to be getting something back together. Ron, it seems to have quietened down a little bit off the pitch, which is good for them and the manager, but they need to go at it here. And to be fair, they beat City at home. Can they rekindle some of that spirit and some of that that performance?
Yeah, I think they can, and I think United obviously have had this little run that's put them back into contention, but haven't they got a lot of injury problems in midfield?
Cardiff, this is.
No, United.
Oh, United, sorry.
I mean, Carrick's out. Yeah, Jones will be out.
Fletcher's obviously out.
Fletcher's out, but no, you're discounting him anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at the kind of probable lineup I've seen is Valencia, Cleverley, Fellaini and Kagawa.
Yeah.
Which isn't too different, I suppose, to...
Yeah, they wouldn't want to be going to somewhere like Chelsea or Arsenal with that sort of midfield, would they?
Yeah. And obviously Rooney and Van Persie up front.
Yeah, the very fact that... I'm just trying to think of the midweek fixture in Europe.
Man United, they've got back. They're away at Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah,
That's not the easiest of games.
No, not at all.
Something out of it. But you know, he's got to prioritise the league. So I think he'll try and play a stronger side. I'm just thinking whether he'll leave Van Persie out. Because I think with him and Rooney in the side at the moment, they've a chance against anybody, haven't they?
Yeah.
Ron, can you leave him out, and even in the league now? Can you leave your best players out in the league?
Well, they've done it in the past, Fergie, but he's always had he's had a Welbeck to come in or somebody like that. He's had, Hernandez ain't the worst substitute, is he?
No.
But I think it's important that David Moyes, I think the league position's the most important thing this season. So I think he'd have to go with Rooney and Van Persie. That being the case, I would fancy them to score. I don't think Cardiff are out. I'm going to go for a narrow United win, I think. I think I'd go for a narrow United win and a possible draw out the game. But, yeah, I'll go I'll go a squeeze, 1-0.
13-2, the price for
that. I'd go a squeeze on that.
That midweek game against Bayer Leverkusen, a draw would do it. So United could go out there, and, you know, they've got 8 points compared to Bayer's 7, and then Shakhtar back on 5. So a draw would probably be all right for them. Robbie, Cardiff, like I said, they've shown bits and pieces, but it's hard to make a case, isn't it, for Cardiff? Just maybe even in terms of goal scoring against United.
Well, they've just got to replicate the performance against City. I think the odds are significant. I think 3-1 is for the draw is a good bet. You know, I'm going on Derek's philosophy here that 6-10 on United is, if it was good in the game, I wouldn't have that bet. I think United will win, but I think 3-1 is a good bet.
Derek?
Yeah, it's a tough one, this, because that result for Cardiff against Villa really knocked the stuffing from me, because I was expecting big things from them. I really fancied them that day, and by all accounts, they were dismal. I know this is at home where they beat Manchester City, but, you know, there's a limit to what Cardiff can do, and Man United with Rooney and Van Persie, you know, Ron's right. If those two weren't playing, I would be all over Cardiff at 9-2, because I take those two out the side, and I don't think there's that much to choose between them, to be honest. I really don't. That's how ordinary I think Man United are. But those two, they're operating in a different league, aren't they? And I'm going to have to go for United here. I just don't think Cardiff have got enough about them to stop them two from notching. So Man United for me.
Fair enough. The Monday night game is West Brom versus Aston Villa. West Brom are even money. The draw 12-5, and Aston Villa are priced up at 11-4. These two are locked together on 14 points, right in the middle of the table. West Brom are 10th, Aston Villa 11th, and there's only a goal between them in goal difference. Villa have got a -1 so far. And you look at the form as well over the last six, and they look very, very similar. As a manager of both these clubs, Ron, it's your duty to pick a winner or a draw.
I'm going to go for West Brom.
Right.
Simply and purely because I think Aston Villa, I don't think Benteke will play. I know he's not in great form this year, but I think he's got a big doubt. And what's his name?
Wyman.
Wyman, he's injured as well, I think. So to go in without them two is a big thing. And in the past, Villa have got a great record at the Hawthorns, but... Mm. I think Albion have not lost any of the last four fixtures.
Five.
Is it five?
1-2, drawn 3, yeah.
Yeah, and I just about fancy them to sneak home. I think they might win 2-1.
Yeah.
Some cup matches daily, because Villa have only lost one in the last, I think, 11 in the league at the Hawthorns. He must have thrown a couple of...
It says Premier League, but I am trusting the stats, so I'll check back on that and make sure it's not incorrect.
They were beaten last year, weren't they, 2-1?
No, it was 2-2 last year.
2-2, 1-1, 0-0. West Brom 1-2-1, and West Brom 1-2-1 the year before that. Yeah, last Villa win was 2010.
Yeah,
I'll check up on that one. But I mean, Villa 11-4.
That means that, all right, I'll concede.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
All right,
I'm going to come back at you on that one.
I can't wait.
11-4, Villa. Away from home, Villa. I mean, it is a worry, though, if those injuries are true, what Ron says. But
the other lad's not in either, is he? And I think he's very important away from home for the Magbunlo.
Yeah. Isn't Agbonlahor in?
No. Well, it's a doubt. It's a doubt, but, you know, whether he plays or not.
Mind you, didn't we say that and then he got that ridiculous result against somebody or other? Mm. Where, you know, when he... Was it against City, was it? I can't remember when he had those players out. Yeah, it was against City and he won. That's a big if with those players, because they're so important for the way they play away from home. But if they're getting something like a full-strength lineup, I think 11-4 to beat West Brom is a very good bet for Villa.
Yeah. Finding it hard to score goals, Robbie, aren't they, Villa? I mean, ironically, all those weeks and weeks and weeks they went without clean sheets. Now they can't score, but they don't concede either. They're two successive 0-0s away from home at Hull and West Ham. How do you see this one going at the Hawthorns?
I'll go with West Brom. I think Benteke's not playing well. He should have scored at West Ham. The header hit the bar. And with so many injuries, if you've got to go with West Brom.
Another little stat on the second half goals. 10 of the 14 goals scored by West Brom against Villa have come in the second half. So another, maybe a little cagey one in the first half of the game, and then it could explode in the second half. We shall see on Monday night. Let's have a look at the non-TV games now. Starting off with Arsenal versus Southampton. Arsenal are 11-20. It's 3-1 the price for the draw, and Southampton's price is 5-1, which which looks big, but bearing in mind the way the traders have been pricing Southampton up so far this season. Arsenal top of the table with 25 points, and Southampton just 3 points back in third, with a really good goal difference as well. I think it's the fourth best goal difference in the Premier League. Going to be an interesting game, this one, Robbie, isn't it? You know, Arsenal, we know how Arsenal play, we know how they like to play, but Southampton don't half press well, don't they? They're almost like they're made to counteract Arsenal, aren't they, Southampton? Can they get something at the Emirates?
Oh, it's a very, very good game, Liam. Mm. Going back years, Southampton against Arsenal at the Emirates, you're thinking, well, no chance, Southampton, but they've done so, so well. I think both teams will score is probably the best bet, mate.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that price. The only bit of injury worry that was for Southampton was Osvaldo. He had a problem during Italy's recent draw with Germany, but he's back in contention, so they're pretty much unchanged.
They never play him, do they?
Who's that? Southampton?
Osvaldo.
Yeah, I think he's played
He was the one they paid a lot of money for.
Yeah, the same as Osvaldo. Yeah, he's not. They're looking about getting shut of him again, aren't they, in January?
Yeah, but...
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
He's going to unless he go to Madrid.
Oh, right. I missed that one. Yeah. I'll do more research next time. Yeah. He's in the probable lineup here, but that doesn't mean anything, I suppose, does it? I mean, I guess, Ron, you know, the three England players who were picked, they come back into this squad. You wonder how much it's taken out of them, and that's a new challenge for those few players, isn't it?
I don't think it'll have taken any. I think if anything, it'll give them a lift.
Yeah,
I think they'll get people like Lallana and the other kid Rodriguez. You know, they've come from nowhere to get in. It certainly, particularly Rodriguez and. You know, they'll be on. I think they'll have a right confidence boost.
Mm.
I fancy Arsenal, and I'm just trying to think the best way they can. I fancy Arsenal, particularly if Giroud comes back okay from the French thing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, unless they've been down at Champs-Élysées for the last four nights or something like that.
There's no doubt. There's no rumours of him being anything other than playing.
No. I just about fancy Arsenal. I think it'd be very tight. I think I might go for an Arsenal 2-1.
Right. That Derek, the bet that Robbie's picked out, that both teams to score, is 10-11. Arsenal have scored in all the home games. Southampton have scored in all their away except one at Norwich, which I'd be willing to forgive as a blip. It's not a bad price, is it?
No, it isn't. You know, this is a game where if you're going to put both teams to score, betting your coupon, this would be writ large, wouldn't it?
Because 10-11.
It shouldn't be 10-11. No. That's a mistake, that. It should be shorter than that. Good pick out by Robbie, that one. And I have to say, Southampton were 5-1 at Anfield early in the season. I couldn't wait to back Southampton that week. I expected them to be bigger than fives. And again, I expect them to be bigger than fives here, but they did the business at Liverpool. And I've got a sneaking fancy for them here as well, you know. I don't know, when you sense something in a game, and I just sense Arsenal have gone over the top a little bit. And they were diabolical, weren't they, against Man United?
They weren't. United played well, Paul.
Well, that's the thing, you see, Ron. I don't think so. I really
United set off like a house on fire and signalled their intent. That's what it was about. Your bias sometimes does show up.
What? Hang on a minute. Let me sec up for Derek here. Bias?
I don't care who beats Arsenal. Doesn't bother me in the slightest. I'm going to go. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll play safe.
Care who beats Arsenal so long as it's not Man U. You don't want anyone to get
true. Or Everton. They're playing Marseille Arsenal in midweek, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You know, yep. Decent fixture for them, that. Might have one eye on that. I'm going to go. I'll play it safe and go. The draw is a big price in this, but I'll play safe and go. Southampton plus a goal start at 5-4.
Very good. Let's have a look at Fulham versus Swansea next. Fulham are 11-5. The draw is 23-10, and it's 5-4 the price for Swansea, which looks a little short given Swansea's form this season. They're in 13th place, only 2 points above Fulham, who are in the drop zone. You look at Swansea's form in all competitions. The last win was back in October, mid-October, when they beat Sunderland 4-0. Since then, they have drawn four of the last five in all competitions, a couple of those in Europa League. And then you look at Fulham's form, lost the last four in succession, 2-0, 4-3 to Leicester, 3-1 to United, and 4-0 to Liverpool. Before that, it was the win over Crystal Palace on that Monday night game when they hit four past them. Tricky one from a betting point of view, Derek. I'm not sure I can trust Swansea at 5-4, but I'm not sure Fulham are quite big enough at 11-5. Are we left with a draw?
Well, Swansea won there the last 2 years.
Yeah, better team. They seemed to be a better team then, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or a bit more about them, maybe.
But Fulham are definitely a worse team now.
True.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Joke. I mean, this new manager. Is he the new? He's like it's the first club to appoint a new manager without getting rid of the old one. It seems at Fulham.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah, I know.
It's like you know. You said y'all want to pay off. They've like even if I sat in his office thinking, hang on a minute. I haven't even been paid off yet.
I know. I mean, he's just waiting to go, isn't he, at teams? And some of the team sheets he's been sending out are just crazy. I mean, I read this week that this new man, Rennie Mullenstein, you know, the Mullenstein, Fergie's acolyte, he was in one of his previous clubs, yeah. Bromby. He got the players to imagine what they were animals on the pitch. Dimitar Berbatov has volunteered to be a sloth. I mean, how does this guy pick up his wages? $60,000 a week he's on. Jesus Christ! If he could live his life all over again, he'd get someone else to do it for him. he's an absolute disgrace, isn't he? And Fulham won't win this. Swansea will win this 5-4. I don't care what you say. Swansea will win this.
Okay, fair enough. Ron, which way do you go on this one?
I think the new coach will bring them. They'll come out like caged tigers.
Nice.
I think the coiled springs.
Yeah.
Trouble is, you can't really fancy. You can't be confident about Swansea, can you?
No, not really.
I'm going to go for Fulham with their new coach to come out like Ray the Lions.
Mm. What would you think, Ron, if you're in that position and they brought in someone? He must be part of the decision making, surely, y'all. Or
well,
not?
If you think back through the season, when they talked about Yol was trying to get him to come on with them, wasn't he?
Oh, right, was he? So yeah. You think it must have been like maybe just to give him a hand in the coaching department, maybe?
Yeah. So he'll be a number two, but he'll be out on the field an awful lot.
Mm. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Everyone's got a golf there to organise, I think. Wilfred Bony started scoring again, Robbie, hasn't he? He scored 10 in 18 starts for Swansea, and he's got 3 in his last 2. He's 7-2 to score in a Swansea win. Could you be tempted by that one?
I'm going to go for the drawly.
Right, yeah. Can see that. 23-10. Yeah, fair enough. Just to add to Derek's admiration for Dimitar Berbatov, by the way, he scored 1 goal in 855 minutes of Premier League football this season. In 2012-13, he averaged a goal every 190 minutes. So I know you love those minute things, so it's like combining two of your least favourite things there. I thought you'd enjoy that. A draw, a Swansea win, and Ron, you're going for...
Fulham win,
one of each, then go and pick the bones out of that. Hull versus Crystal Palace next. Hull are 4-5. The draw is 5-2, and Palace are priced up at 7-2. We're told that they're in the final stages of talking to Tony Pulis as we record this, but now we're being told that the caretaker...
Off the record,
yeah. But they are saying this morning that the caretaker will still take charge of this game. Again, going back to the odds here, I know Crystal Palace's form is pretty wretched and they're away from home here, but it's pretty tricky to back Hull at odds on, Robbie, isn't it? Because they're not exactly pulling up any trees at the moment. The home form is very good, though. I mean, they just get the job done, don't concede many goals, and they score a goal. Could you trust Hull at odds on, Robbie?
Yeah, I think Hull will win at home. I think Bruce is doing a very good job with them. Not great to watch, but they're methodical and they get the job done at home, as you say. So, Hull City Tigers to win.
Yes, this animal theme. What about the Eagles? Yeah. Derek, again, you know, Palace haven't scored many. Is this just another, you know, a win to nil then for Hull?
Well, how could you back a team out on when they can't score goals? And their main striker's still out, isn't he? I couldn't back it. I couldn't back Hull at 4-5. There was Palace, everybody's writing Palace off, but there's something about them, isn't there? That game against Arsenal a few weeks ago when they lost.
Still latching on to this.
But I mean, against Everton as well last week, a couple of weeks ago. Not many teams are taking points off Everton. There's something about Palace. Sooner or later, it's going. They're not as bad as like Derby, where are they, or Sunderland, where when they got about 3 points all season. They've got a little bit more about them than that. And I'm going to give them another chance here at 7-2.
Yeah.
I'm looking at their lineup, the Palace lineup, and I don't see it any worse than Hull's. You know, player for player, it's 7-2, I think it's a decent bet here for Palace.
Yeah, Ron, Robbie Brady's back, and he's a player who's impressed quite a lot of people this season.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the little bets before we go into that is corners. They get a lot of corners, Hull, the way they play. So it might be worth looking at the corners markets. Who wins it, Ron?
I'm going for a draw.
Right. Okay.
Particularly if Pulis, whether or not he's in place.
Yeah.
If he's involved, in other words, if he's on the trip, I think that. he'll have an input. And the input will be, they've got some decent defenders, I think, Crystal Palace, you know, not to play at the very top level, but to do all right at this level. And going to Hull shouldn't worry them. I mean, they've played there enough times over the last few years. I'm fancying a very, very low-scoring draw.
Right.
Less than no goals. Is there a bet for that?
It was 0-0 last season, Ron, so you're
yeah. I fancy a draw at either no score or 1-1 at the most.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, under 1.5 goals, Lee, is 2-1, our old favourite.
It always is.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happens, does it? It just always seems to be the way. Newcastle versus Norwich is the penultimate game that we'll look at. 3-4 Newcastle, 13-5 the draw, and Norwich are 19-5. Newcastle ninth on 17 points, so only 3 points behind the likes of Man United and Everton. Tottenham, who've had great starts to the season, by the way. Norwich 15th with 11 points, so only a point above the teams who we spoke about earlier, who are in a bit of trouble. West Ham, Stoke, and Fulham. They got that win against West Ham, which was much needed last time out, because they've been smashed a bit 7-0 the game before that. I think that's one of Derek's theories, where teams come back and put in a good performance after a bit of a mullering. Newcastle beat Tottenham, beat Chelsea before that. They'd lost to Sunderland, drew 2-2 with Liverpool, beating Cardiff. So suddenly, there's just one defeat in the last five for Newcastle. Looking a lot better on, aren't they, all of a sudden?
Yeah, I said a few weeks ago, didn't I? I think Newcastle are the great unpredictables.
Yeah.
I think on the day they'll beat anybody, and on the day they'll lose to anybody. Just got a feeling they might get swamp fever on this and murder. I got a feeling they might just hammer Norwich on this one.
Right.
You know, you've got the French thing, and they'll all come back. I see Pardew said it's the best result they've had this year, Newcastle, or the French winning. So I think there'll be plenty of adrenaline flowing from that. I'm going to go for quite a good Newcastle win.
Yeah.
Something like, I suppose, a conservative one would be 3-0.
Yeah, they kept clean sheets against Newcastle and against Norwich in the last three, Robbie, as well, Newcastle. So a good record going into this, full of confidence. Remy scoring goals. He scored more for Newcastle already than he did for QPR. Scored 7 and assisted another in his 9 Premier League appearances for the club. Hard to look past Newcastle on form, isn't it, Robbie?
Yeah, it is. I'm not sure what's happened to Ben Arfa. I don't think he's replayed that much recently as well. And I thought the start of the season, yeah, he was their most influential player. Has he not played recently?
No, he's sub.
Yeah, so with him not in the team as well, they are doing exceptionally well. The game's at St James's Park.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 2-3-0 Newcastle.
Right.
I'm with Ron.
Yeah, 2-0 is 17-2. 3-0 is 14-1. If you just wanted to cover off both of those, Newcastle minus a goal is 2-1, which
can
might.
Can I interrupt on you?
You can
just a bit on this one, Lee.
Yeah.
I hope Derek doesn't go for a big Newcastle win, because knowing Newcastle, with us all on them and big wins.
Yeah.
Well, just as liable to let.
Exactly. Rest assured, Ron, I'm not.
Good prediction.
Well, the reason being, it all comes. Ron is dead right. They are the Jekyll and Hyde team of the Premier League, and you know they can steamroller anyone, and equally be a steamroller themselves. And so, yeah, fine, back them when the big prices, but not when they're odds on. You know, why would you back a team like that at odds on, even against Norwich? I can't bring myself to do it. I've got something from that result against West Ham a couple of weeks ago. It was a big, big improvement in form for them. And I don't, you know, Newcastle are nothing to be scared of, are they? I know they've got player for player, they look a better side. But the French lads have probably been all on the ale all week anyway.
Why?
You know, they've had a lot of internationals out over the last 2 weeks. Norwich have had probably 2 weeks to prepare for it. I'm going to go for Norwich with a goal start, which is just around the even money mark. Well, 10 to 11.
Yeah, very good. I mentioned Remy. He's 10 to 11 to score at home with that goal record. That's not a bad price, really.
He scores good goals.
He does,
well,
doesn't he? Yeah, yeah. If 2 or more is 4-1, by the way. I know the 10 to 11 might make people think, I'm not sure, but if you go along with the idea that Newcastle will get a couple, then he will surely be involved somewhere along the line. Finally, and we've saved the very best to last, it's Stoke versus Sunderland. This is 19 to 20 Stoke, 12 to 5 the draw, and Sunderland are priced up at 3-1. Stoke are 17th with 10 points, and Sunderland 19th with 7 points. So a cliched relegation 6-pointer already, maybe. Stoke are a funny team. Every time you think, oh, they're doing all right. They, you look at the form, you think, no, they're not. They haven't got a win now in the last 8 games. A draw against City in there, a draw at West Brom, at home to West Brom, a draw against Southampton, and the 3-3 against Swansea when they were 3-0 up, remember. Sunderland, not bad form. It's the home form, though, that's improved. They've beaten Newcastle and Manchester City in successive games, but still losing a lot away from home, Derek. Yeah. Is it all about the odds here?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a low-scoring game, isn't it?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, but the thing is,
3-3 was a bit of a shocker, to be fair.
I'd back them to win that day, gutted. Both teams to score, no, is 7-10, and you know, even though it's as short as you're going to get in a Premier League, that looks absolutely nailed on. As for the match results, I'd say if I was going to pick a winner, it would be Stoke, but Sunderland are 3-1, and that's what I, you know, it's my temple, isn't it? 3-1 away. I really can't call this one, but in the both teams are scoring, no, at 7-10 is my only call.
Yeah. Robbie, the Catamol and Desainer are still serving their ban. They've got one more match of the ban for Sunderland. But they'll go with the team, you know, that that beat City last time. So, you know, it's hard to argue with Sunderland. It's just whether they can do it away from home, I presume.
Well, I'm going to go for the biggest price of the weekend. I'm going to go for a Stoke 1-0 on Begovic to score.
Ooh. Let's have a look at that. Oh, they won't give us a price still. Unbelievable. Oh, God, no. We're trying to work out what that price was for that game. But, yeah, hundreds and hundreds to one, I presume. You think they're 1-0, though?
I'm going 1-0 Stoke, yeah.
You can well see that. Ron, that's 11-2, by the way.
I'm going to go for a draw.
The draw is 12-5.
It's either a no score or 1-1. I think I'll go 1-1.
Yeah, 6-1 the price for the 1-1, 7-1 the price for 0-0, which is quite a bit shorter than we normally see for 0-0 draws, or is it? Maybe not. Maybe a point or two shorter. Let's get a bet of the week. We're not doing too well in these bets of the week, are we? I haven't done the standings.
We don't have a midweek bet of the week.
but it's minus, I think it's fair to say.
It's minus.
So far. Who would like to go first? I think you were the last winner, Derek.
Right.
In fact, probably the only winner so far this season. So I'll let you have the honour of going first.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go for Palace with a goal start, but it's not big enough. So I'm just going to go for Palace to win at Hull at 7-2.
Okay, Palace to win at Hull. Who would like to go next?
It don't matter to me because I can't pick one. I might go West Brom 2-1. What's West Brom just to win?
Evens.
Yeah, even money.
Even, nah.
That means West Brom will win now.
Yeah.
So you need to add the trimmings to it.
2-1.
2-1. I'll just get the price for that one. I think it was 7-1, but I'll double check that. 8-1 it is. I dipped you out of some value there. Robbie, what's your favourite bet of the weekend?
I'm going to go for Liverpool to beat Everton.
Liverpool to win at Everton, which is it's not a bad price for Liverpool, the way they've been priced up usually. 11-8 to win at Everton. Brilliant. Thank you. We made it through to the end, Robbie, so the technology worked for once, which is great news. Thank you very much for your time, guys. Have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Ron. Cheers, Robbie. Thanks, Derek.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.